Good morning, welcome. I am Jennifer Bowen, and I'm the Executive Director of Iowa Right to Life. As we begin this morning, I would like to thank you all, first of all, for attending. And I would also ask that, because we have such a wide array of speakers here this morning, that we keep the questions until the end, and then we'll open up the floor. As we begin, it is very important that we bring to your attention that moving into this session, we were all very excited about the groundswell of pro-life support from across our state, both in grassroots and in the legislature. Subsequently, we would come to see a plethora of strong legislation brought forth by an incredible number of pro-life legislators. And I want to list those out for you. A late-term abortion ban, a life at conception bill, a ban to prohibit a health benefit exchange, a bill to establish protocol on medication abortions, also known as webcam abortions, defunding of abortion providers, an act relating to reporting of waivers granted from abortion notification requirements for pregnant minors, a right to life amendment to the Iowa Constitution that the right to life is the most paramount right. And over in the Senate, we had a companion joint resolution to H.R. J3 to amend the Constitution, an abortion coverage ban, informed consent, outpatient abortion clinics, abortion drug reports, late-term abortion ban. And what made it through funnel? In the House, the late-term abortion ban, the act relating to the reporting of waivers granted from abortion notification, with a life at conception added on as an amendment, and the bill to prohibit a health benefit exchange, it enacted if Obamacare takes place, and nothing in the Senate. It must be said that while we are very happy that we have each of these bills, it is also distressing to know what we lost. Webcam abortions remain a reality Monday through Friday all across Iowa. Abortion clinics remain unregulated, and women remain uninformed, ill-equipped to make one of the most devastating choices she has ever confronted with. Abortion providers continue to receive our tax dollars, and honestly, we as a pro-life community are responsible for this. We move forward and address now what we can still accomplish this session, what we must accomplish. And with that, I introduce to you Steve Scheffler of the Iowa Faith Freedom Coalition.
My only comment is that we are losing time. We have a small window of opportunity to get at least one abortion bill or pro-life bill, and maybe two. We're running out of time, and it's going to take us some time to get them through the Senate. And the longer the House delays, the less time we have to act on these critical bills. I don't know what the delay is all about, but it's time to get off the dime and get it done.
Norman, can you introduce yourself? I'm sorry.
Sure.
It's Norman
Pawlewski, Pawlewski. I'll give you my card.
Okay.
What's your title?
Yeah. Lobbyist, Iowa Faith and Freedom Coalition.
Thank you.
And the Iowa Right to Life Committee.
Great.
Thank you for being here today, and thank you for the opportunity to share a statement on behalf of Iowans for Life. My name is Maggie DeWitty, and I'm the Executive Director of Iowans for Life. Our organization, the first pro-life organization in the state, began working to build a culture of life within our state starting in 1972. Throughout these years, it has not stopped in defending the rights of every person, from conception to natural death. The mission of Iowans for Life is education. We often see the legislative process as another opportunity to educate. House File 5, also known as the fetal pain legislation, is currently in subcommittee. In reviewing the bill, there are many good things within this legislation. We know from the research that there is clear and convincing evidence that babies within the womb feel pain. An important statement is made in Section 5, which states nothing in this chapter shall be construed as determining life to begin at 20 weeks gestation. Instead, it is recognized that life begins at conception. While there are many positive things in this legislation, it is the hope of Iowans for Life that if this legislation is allowed to go forward, that Section 3, medical emergencies, be removed from this bill. While it is not known to most Iowans, it is widely understood in the abortion community that medical emergency language is broadly construed to allow abortions through 9 months of pregnancy within Iowa. In fact, the incident of catastrophic medical emergency that would warrant the death of an unborn child to spare the mother's life is extremely and statistically rare. We hope future legislation will be crafted to reflect medical opinion instead of political opinion. In truth, we believe the majority of medical emergencies arise when abortion advocates are encouraging women to take advantage of their service. We feel there should be no exceptions in abortion legislation and no situation in which taking the life of an unborn child is acceptable. We also see positive legislation in House File 576, a bill to keep insurance plans covering abortion out of a state health exchange. House File 87, which would cut back on state funding for providers of abortion, and House File 439, which would require reporting of the number of waivers granted from abortion notification requirements for pregnant minors. In fitting with our mission, Iowans for Life sees a value in House File 153 in recognizing the rights of all human life from conception to natural death. Now is the time for all such legislation to be passed without delay. While Iowa is faced with many important issues, nothing can compare to issues regarding life and death. Iowa works hard to be a welcoming state to all, and that must include the least of those, the unborn. Thank you.
My name is Tom Chapman, and I'm the executive director of the Iowa Catholic Conference. The Iowa Catholic Conference strongly encourages the legislature to pass House File 5 and other pro-life bills this session. We seek the protection of the unborn. Victims of abortion, especially those who are sick or disabled, are the most defenseless members of the human family. Unfortunately, during the past few years, Iowa has become an abortion-friendly state to the point we are the first place in the country to have a program to do abortions over a video conference. How did this happen? We're losing the equivalent every day in Iowa of a small kindergarten class. A strong majority of Americans reject abortion on demand and support limits to the unfettered destruction of unborn human life. House File 5, which stops abortions after 20 weeks, would change the status quo. Currently, the Iowa Code allows all abortions during the entire pregnancy that preserve the life or health of the mother. In practice, health can be defined as anything. The exception has swallowed the rule. The principles of our nation's founding documents and the anchor of our faith keep insisting, it's not just the act of choosing, but what is chosen that counts for moral life. We believe women deserve better than abortion, and society can do better to assist them. We invite men and women of goodwill to join us in the work of restoring meaningful protections for the unborn and addressing the needs of pregnant women, the men who father these children, and to families in distress. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dennis Shea. I'm a volunteer and with Gabriel's Corner and on the board of directors at Gabriel's Corner. I'm also the Respect Life director for the Knights of Columbus for the state. But overall, and the reason I'm standing here is I am one of the leaders of a pretty good sized coalition from Council Bluffs that are very unified in thought and we're varied in religious and other backgrounds. And yet we stand unified on this issue. Let me make something just perfectly clear. If HF5, the fetal pain bill, does not go through, Carhartt will come into Iowa, period. HF5 has to go through, period. That's all there is to it. We are not unaware of other issues and how far-reaching abortion is. Right across from Gabriel's Corner, I would say we lose more than a kindergarten class every week to the telemed abortions that are going on. We know that this has to be stopped. It has to be stopped completely, and we are all for that. But a trip of 1,000 miles has to have every step in the middle as we go towards that goal, and we cannot miss one step. If we do miss a step, we're not going to get there. I have a statement from Mr. Marty Cannon, who has represented our Southwest Iowa for Life group. The fetal pain bill is sound in advance protection of unborn children. I have spent many years successfully litigating abortion and other life-related cases. I am very familiar with the fetal pain bill and with the legal rules pertaining to it. I am convinced that this is a fight that must be won. I also believe it can be won. If pain is not a basis for improving the protection of the unborn child, what could be? The detractors among us have their arguments, but lack nerve. They fail to see the opportunity here, even among court rulings focused on viability. The pain experienced by a living child during an abortion is now objectively established and beyond reasonable dispute. It provides for the people of Iowa a compelling interest in prohibiting abortions in which such pain would occur. It provides a rational basis, not so much for overturning Roe v. Wade, but for extending its protection from only viable children to those capable of suffering. The fetal pain bill is motivated by our basic decency and will be sustained by it. The bill is a response to the humanity of the unborn child and is an important step in establishing her personhood as a matter of law. This is a bill that Iowans should support. Marty Cannon.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is John Jacobson, and I am a citizen of Trainer, Iowa, a great bedroom community right outside of Council Bluffs. I'm involved in business. I'm a teacher and also an attorney. And I want to recognize all of my esteemed colleagues today from the greater Council Bluffs area. We've got business leaders here. We have leaders of houses of worship here. We have community servants. We have a former Iraq combat chaplain who shed his blood on foreign soil to make sure that all people have this right to life. In business, bottom line, you've got to look at the bottom line. You've got to look at timing issues involved. Bottom line is House File 5 will save lives, and the time is pressing and the time is urgent. It is imperative that we work to pass this crucial piece of legislation. We have technology today that tells us that babies feel the pain at 20 weeks when they are aborted. And for a humane society to allow this, this is unconscionable. Nationally, about 90% of Americans are opposed to late-term abortion because Americans are, at their root, compassionate people. Even among pro-choice Americans, the overwhelming majority of them do not want to see late-term abortion become the norm in our society. Right now, and you can verify this with my fellow citizens from Pottawatomie County, the clear and present danger faces the Council Bluffs metropolitan area and Pottawatomie County. However, it is not just the threat to our community, but a threat to the whole state of Iowa that is involved here. We are here from the Council Bluffs community to plead with our legislators to pass this life-saving bill, which will prevent these types of cruel businesses from operating in Iowa. It's a good bill. It serves protecting children in our state from 20 weeks on who can feel the pain when they are being aborted. We can, each and every one of us in this room and throughout Iowa, relate to that in our human experience. We can all feel the pain. We here today represent groups, large and small, who have been fighting in the pro-life trenches for decades. We represent a vast and comprehensive group of different organizations whose purpose is to uphold life. The sands are running through the time glass right now, folks. The legislative session, we're on the back nine right now. There's a sense of urgency here. We're talking about every human life being precious. This bill will save lives. We urge you to adopt this bill.
Get your name and organization.
John Jacobson, attorney, Trainer, Iowa.
This organization.
We're citizens. This is a groundswell. I appreciate you asking. This is a groundswell of citizens from basically every denomination, every cross-section of faith, business community, rural, urban. It's really a grassroots group. I don't even think we have any formal incorporation or title. This is Mr. Smith Comes to Des Moines today is what this is. And Mrs. Smith and Miss Smith and Colonel Smith and Pastor Smith, I'm sorry, and all that.
How many people in your group?
Well, at the city council meetings, and I'm sure Mayor Hannafin and Council Bluffs and the city council would relay the fact that we have had several hundred people in overflow attendance regularly at council meetings, and this is what is so important. This is a unified, bipartisan approach that is going on in Pottawatomie County and in Council Bluffs. Republicans don't want late-term abortion. Democrats don't want late-term abortion. Rich don't want it. Poor don't want it. Urban don't want it. Rural don't want it. Self-employed don't want it. Business people don't want it. Veterans don't want it. Women don't want it. Children don't want it. Adults don't want it. In the hearings before the city council over these last span of months, there has not been one person advocating the late-term abortion business. Every one of the hundreds of people who have been represented at multiple meetings have been steadfast and united. And again, we realize the inherent nature of Des Moines is that there's always debate and sometimes confusion. There's always debates and sometimes confusion, but at Ground Zero, which right now is the Council Bluffs metro area, there is no confusion. There is only complete unanimity, and it's quite striking to think that every single group of people of faith, and even those that aren't of faith but try to follow the natural law, that are people of goodwill, are united with this. You go to those city council meetings, look at the tapes, the transcripts, Protestant, Catholic, Jew, agnostic, they are all united 100% on this. The people are really trying to speak loudly on this. Sometimes we're afraid that people here think that West Iowa ends at West Des Moines. That's not the truth. And there are thousands and thousands of us out there asking for immediate action. This bill will solve this problem.
For some of that resistance,
is that just the speaker? Let's get to them before we start doing questions.
We're going to, well,
thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Thank you, so appreciate it.
Hi, thank you all for being here. I am Tamara Scott, T-A-M-A-R-A-S-C-O-T-T. I am the State Director of Concerned Women for America, and also we have a legislative action pack. It is my honor to stand lock arm with these individuals who are now saying enough is enough. Thank you for the kind lip service, but we had quite a phenomenal turnout in an election last year, and we want to see some results of that election. We're pleased to see the action that has happened in the House. We encourage more to take place, and we want to spur on those friends in the Senate. We hear that, you just heard, that this is an issue that goes across both party lines, and yet we have one individual in the Senate who promises nothing will come forward that would benefit the life of the unborn. That's not noble. There is no nobility in aborting babies before they take their first breath, nor is it noble for one man to stop or hinder the movement of Iowans that was very clear in an election last year. It's not noble, and one can only assume that there's unity in that party because his own party is not standing against him either. And so we encourage those senators, both Republican and Senate and Democrat, to take a stand for life. Iowa used to have a slogan that said, a great place to grow. Wouldn't that be a nice slogan to once again be able to stand on rather than the first state in the nation to kill babies across the internet, to pass out prescription drugs, snuffing out life without even having the possibility of a personal visit, the dangers that come with telemed abortion? We're the first state in the nation to take that leap. Why? Because not one has had the courage to stand up. The elected leaders that we elected, not to follow one person in the Senate, not to follow a special interest PAC, but to be leaders for those voters across the state of Iowa, as well as America, we're waiting for them to rise up and to take these bills forward. The pro-life movement has been incremental. It is gaining ground for the first time in a very long time. I think since Roe v. Wade, we have a majority of pro-life individuals. Right now, with the economic downtime that we are in, we're seeing it nationally. Leaders in D.C. are saying the largest abortion provider should not be the largest recipient under Title X of federal funding dollars. We're saying the same in Iowa. We don't want our funds as taxpayers, as moms and dads, to go to the killing of innocent in the womb. Moms and dads are struggling. They're sacrificing to put food on the table right now, and they shouldn't be forced to subsidize the sex lives of teenagers and the experimentation of those sex lives through Planned Parenthood. We're doing all we can as parents. Gas prices, food costs. Let's not even talk about health care. We shouldn't be forced to fund the killing of someone else's child when we're doing all we can to provide for our own. My pleasure. Thank you very much for being here.
Can you move your chair for just a second? Bob's going to come up.
Thank you. Robert Duff, Chairman, Iowa Right to Life Committee. You know, Jill June was recently, of Planned Parenthood, was recently quoted as saying, they, referring to us pro-lifers, they're not going to stop chipping away at Roe versus Wade until it's gone. For once, maybe the only time, I'm going to agree with Jill June. She's exactly right. We're not going to stop until it's gone. If we can get it in one fell swoop, a restoration of protection for the unborn through a personhood amendment, we'll take it. If we can't get that, we're going to push legislation piece by piece, whatever it is, whether it's the clinic bills, whether it's the remote control abortion prohibitions, whether it's a late-term abortion prohibition. We will continue to chip away at it until it's gone. We're not going to stop. We'll never stop until full legal protection is restored for the unborn. It's been 12 years since we had a governor that would sign pro-life legislation. This is an appeal to the pro-life citizens of Iowa. It's time all hands on deck. We've got a governor now who will sign any piece of pro-life legislation coming out of the legislature. We need you now to turn it on. Call your legislators. Tell them to support the pro-life pieces of legislation pending, so that we can get to the governor something of significance that will help advance the cause of the unborn and stop this slaughter. We've heard from representatives from Council Bluffs that refer to House File 5 as this will stop Carther from coming into to Iowa. If the citizens knew what that meant, this is a man specializing in late-term abortions. His specialty is slicing and dicing unborn human beings. The people in Council Bluffs want to keep him out of Iowa. Iowans want to keep him out of Iowa. Now's the time we need this legislation. Please help us. You can call these respective organizations for information on who to contact. Contact your local representatives, but tell them now's the time. Thank you.
If you'll just bear with me for an extra couple seconds before I make my comments, I want to draw to your attention 20-week-old baby, 20 weeks, 26, and 30 weeks. This is what Leroy Carter, as Bob Dolph was just talking about, this is what he dismembers: a living, breathing Bible child. Leroy Carhart is a man who has for decades aggressively and relentlessly pursued physical destruction of the most vulnerable of our society, our unborn, children who have never taken their first breath. In 1997, Mr. Carhart found himself in court. His testimony was required because it was discovered that the University of Nebraska Medical Center was conducting experiments using brain tissue from children he had aborted.
He stated in his testimony that there were times he did not remove the fetus, the little one intact. He acknowledged that as he brought the babies partially out, they were still alive, that their hearts were still beating. This is infanticide. I will not belabor the gruesomeness of his words. They are available for you if you would like them in more detail. 2007 found Leroy Carhart in a federal jury trial. Under oath, his clinic workers testified that he was performing 6 abortions every 30 minutes, 12 an hour. In just a 4-hour workday, that's 48 abortions a day. In just 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, 144 children lose their lives. Of those, approximately 10 to 20 a week are late-term abortions. Also under oath, his workers testified that they grossed anywhere from $600,000 to $3 to $4 million a year, and that's just the money from abortions. And he has set his sights on Iowa, on our precious daughters, our sisters, our nieces, our granddaughters, and friends, and on the lives of their future children. When he made the announcement in November, he indicated he wanted to move into Maryland, Indiana, and Iowa. He opened up shop in December in Maryland. He took over an existing facility in Indiana. Nothing is keeping him from moving into our state if we do not pass a bill banning late-term abortion, period. As I have stated on every available occasion, we are in support of all pro-life legislation that has been introduced this session, all of it. That includes the Life at Conception bill. You have never, nor will ever, hear me say anything other than how important it is to have the conversation of when life begins. There's not one individual standing beside me here today, and countless more who couldn't make it, that we are not in this for any other result than to see abortion end. We are all in this to lose our jobs. This is not an ethereal conversation about who is more pro-life, who is more righteous, who is more right. This is not about who is to blame. This is about responsibility. Just as we rush in taking responsibility for the lives in ruin with tens of thousands of text messages donating to those in desperate need in far-off Japan, it is our responsibility, our obligation, our duty to rescue those who will be scheduled to die at the hands of one like Leroy Carhart or other abortionists. It is our responsibility to block Leroy Carhart at the border. We have an opportunity with a late-term abortion ban to offer a stopgap emergency measure to stop him even before he begins. I stand here side by side today with these organizations, these strong leaders, yet we do not stand here alone. Also with us today are the 10,000 people that have signed our Iowa Right to Life petitions just since this last fall. Concerned Iowans, Iowans who want their legislature to stop the pro-death agenda that pervades our cities, our schools, and our state. We ask you today to contact your legislators in the next few days. Call them, email them, visit with them. Let them know you want better for Iowa. Let them know you support pro-life legislation. And to the legislature, we ask that you support the pro-life legislation put forth. We ask that you protect Iowa from further becoming a safe haven state for late-term abortion. The lives of our future children literally hang in the balance and must be saved from the destruction that they face if we simply do nothing. Thank you.
Tamara was wrong. Gronstahl has said he'd let the bill be debated if it passes the House.
The late-term abortion.
That's correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Norm, I'm wondering the mystery of why this hasn't cleared the House yet. If you could step back up.
Well, there's no mystery.
Could you?
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
There's no mystery. There are some legislators who are pro-life, who believe that the personhood bill should go first, and they've gotten in the way. So that's why House File 5 hasn't moved yet. We thought all along that every week we were told, you know, you're going to get it, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Well, we're getting it, but it's not what we expected to get. So we think it's time to get off the dime and get the bill moved now.
Isn't this a problem for the anti-abortion community to solve? I mean, this is a fight within your own house to solve it.
Sure.
Well, isn't it your responsibility to solve it?
Well, we're trying to.
Are you pressuring those members that while you agree with their stance, are you telling them the things you're saying here? Yeah, we want the whole enchilada, but we've got this more pressing
issue. We've been telling them that from week one. I mean, what else can we do? We've done everything we thought we could do. We have not criticized them. We have worked with them. We have supported their bill. You know, and they haven't moved.
Seems like your house divided, and that could clear the way.
All kinds of houses are divided. We're divided maybe in degree, but not in the overall principle. We're all pro-life. All the pro-life organizations are together on this. There's only one organization that is not fully in support of us. Every other organization is.
Still, having said that, do you think that, are you afraid that it might clear the way for Dr. Carhart to open up that clinic?
Yeah, we're afraid. If we don't pass House File 5, Dr. Carhart or somebody else will seize on the opportunity to open a Midwest abortion, late-term abortion clinic. That's what Dr. Tiller did in Kansas. There's been no replacement for him. He was doing hundreds and hundreds of these a year. He became a multimillionaire doing these. And he was aborting them right up to the last week before birth. We're not talking about that 30-week baby. We're talking about a 40-week baby. Those are fully grown, viable babies that they're killing. How they do it, I don't know. But they do it.
Okay.